Hello, this is Lisa Bowerman, and you're listening to The Sirens of Audio.
G'day, audiophiles. This is The Sirens of Audio, the show that explores the universe of Doctor Who and the audio medium. I'm Dwayne.
And I'm Philip. G'day, Dwayne. G'day, audiophiles.
G'day, Philip. I was going to see how you reflected that back at me. It was a little reflection, but not too much.
No. You're
quite restrained.
You've got too much enthusiasm today for me, Dwayne.
Oh, I've just spent the day at the beautiful beaches here at Esperance in West Australia. That's where I'm sitting right now. Beautiful part of the world. I can highly recommend anyone to get over here. You should come over and do some camping, Philip.
Oh, are there 5-star hotels there?
Well, I've got a good tent. You can have that. You can have that if you want.
The only sort of camping I do is in hotels. So they've got to be at least 4 stars.
Yeah, I figured that. All right. Today's episode is another one of our 60th anniversary season shows. And I thought we couldn't go past having a look at the character of Benny Summerfield, who has recently celebrated 25 years, only in the last couple of months, at Big Finish. So, of course, the character has been around for a lot longer, but 25 years at Big Finish, it's a good run for a single character.
It's a pretty amazing run, and it's probably, well, it would be the most successful series Big Finish has. It's been running longer than Doctor Who, but with more breaks and less episodes. But in terms of, you know, series, that's one of the best.
And to do that, we're going to have a look at the story Love and War, which is a novel adaptation of the first appearance of Benny Summerfield, written by Paul Cornell and adapted by Jack Rayner, because we had to think for a minute about which story we'd focus on for this, because I'm not a huge fan of Oh No It Isn't, which is the very first one. You would probably love it, being a theatre person.
I do love that one. I think it's a brilliant story. better than this one.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of inclined to agree, but we'll talk more about that shortly. Before we do that, do you know what?
Know what, Dwayne? What?
I think you do. Come and jump down the rabbit hole with me. Let's go. Philip, we're down the rabbit hole, and I was going to let one of our YouTube viewers and listeners lead us on the rabbit hole topic today. He took the time to send us or post a huge comment on our YouTube channel. So I'm going to read it. It's quite long, so make yourself a cup of tea, Philip, and get a bicky and relax.
Actually, itch my foot, so I'll just itch my foot while you're doing it because my foot's really itchy.
Okay, excellent. Well, that's a good way to pass the time.
But I'll keep listening.
Okay, so here we go. This is from YouTube user Jukesy1992. And he says, "It's been a while since I've come here to the podcast, but I noticed you were taking feedback from YouTube comments. If my comment is read out, it depends how you'd like to address me. If it's a real name, it's Aaron. If it's an online name, it's Jukesy. As in a bit like the ooh in June, the sound of a K, or C as is the sound of a can. A heads up, and I can't stress this enough, this comment is going to be a long read. With this out of the way, I'm a totally blind person, so for me, audio is very important. I wanted to come here because of the Hooniverse launch. When they said that every episode had accessibility, well, they were not kidding. On the iPlayer in the UK, every single episode now has audio description. The first of Whovember, as I'm now calling this month for this anniversary, got me so excited. Me and Dad sat down to watch BBC 4 with their documentary, Talking Doctor Who. The new iDent played, and it was the first time I'd experienced it. I genuinely cried, to the point where Dad asked me, "What's up?" I checked iPlayer a little bit before and was a little gobsmacked at just how much was on there. So exciting. But then it all hit when the ident actually happened on TV. They're taking this seriously and describing what they can as well for the blind. My conclusion? I think it all just overwhelmed at once in the best possible way. And what a way to start. Documentary, followed by a Hooniverse trailer, followed by the 60th anniversary concert, followed by another Hooniverse trailer, left me so excited that night. I then went back to my computer and began right away watching Tales of the TARDIS. This also had audio description. By the end of the first new scene, I was bawling my eyes out, quietly. It was the Fifth Doctor and Tegan, and their new dialogue was just so, so moving. I've also finished up the current line of Once and Future, and I loved it. The current last in the line, The Union, was released the Wednesday before, which was a stroke of genius, although they would have been very epic if they had just waited one more week and released it at the same time as the Hooniverse. What a treat that would have been. But amazingly, the BBC announced the Hooniverse date first. Then Big Finish on their podcast announced the release date for The Union, and I was absolutely gobsmacked. It was a brilliant precursor to the Hooniverse launch, and now I can't wait to see and hear what's in store next. Even Big Finish now has Tales from the Hooniverse as a sale. I know I've spent a long time rambling on about this, and I haven't explained my Doctor Who story. So, in brief, started in 2005 with my dad. I got the first series DVD box set that Christmas, which had talking menus and for the first time ever for Doctor Who audio description. And I've never looked back. Throughout the years, I picked up the soundtracks, and that's how I learned the composer's name, who is, of course, Murray Gold. Safe to say, I love the music he's done for the show. I love the new themes for 15 and The Life of Sunday as well. Fast forward to today, and I have a Big Finish account and have absolutely continued to be a fan, and I feel like it's a new beginning for Doctor Who. Please keep up the awesome work. I have a feeling there's a lot of the podcast I still need to listen to. Thank you all so much for all of your unique takes. Love the short story about how you got a theme specifically or specially composed as well. And I love how you've gotten some idents from people involved with our favourite tales of a madman in a box. I hope you've enjoyed reading this comment. And if it's read out, I really hope there's enough runtime for it. But if I eat into it, I truly, truly apologise. And if you need to cut some bits out of the comment, that's fine by me. Thanks in advance. Aaron or Jukesy, a blind person from the UK. P.S. I almost forgot. Currently, my favourite Doctor is David Tennant, but I also love Paul McGann. But that's because I still need to enter the classic Hooniverse properly and experience the rest of them. There you go. What'd you think of that, Philip?
What a sensational message. Does Aaron say how old he is? I miss that. Any idea how old Aaron is?
No, but he says he started watching in 2005 with his dad. So I couldn't say. Aaron, let us know what your age is. How old were you when you started? Because I find that fascinating, and it's really nice that it's all that audio description is there. I'm just wondering if the audio description is there for all of the classic series, because that would be sensational if that was there. I know the audio descriptions are usually done when DVDs have been released over the years, so it's all there available to put on the iPlayer. But classic series, if that's done too, wow.
Yeah, because it is so great that accessibility is becoming part of the norm. And for years, no one thought about anyone else. Normal person, which I don't think really exists, was all, catered for really well. But anyone with any particular needs, and there's more needs than just being blind, of course. It's good that we're starting to move into a society where we can actually find different ways of making accessibility possible. And recognizing that there are vulnerable people out there, people who need accessibility, who will enjoy and love the show just as much as we do, with just a bit of extra help. So I'm really glad that the money's being spent to make that possible. I don't know whether that's available out here. We haven't got the Hooniverse out here. I'm hoping we might see the Hooterverse come in some sort of form, maybe to Disney. But I'm really excited about what's going on. Does that mean I actually don't know the Tales of the TARDIS? I don't know what order they were shown in. Because I sort of assumed they would have gone from first Doctor onwards. It sounds like the fifth Doctor story, Earthshock, would have been the first one. So yeah, once again, if people know what the order they were, are they in an order, or can you just click on them in any order on? I guess it's there wasn't.
I
They
don't
weren't
know.
shown.
I don't have iPlayer, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I guess you could just choose anyone in any order. It doesn't matter. I don't know. I've been trying to work out if there's an order. There you go. Yeah, lots we still don't know about. Yeah, us out here in Australia, we've always been missing some things, but we've had other advantages as well.
But I think it's wonderful that the Hooniverse on iPlayer seems to be opening up the universe of Doctor Who to fans who came in 2005 now. So fans who were there from that series that we were so excited about, that was a return, that was the beginning for them. And now they've got this whole expanded universe, which is absolutely fantastic. And Aaron, if you haven't yet delved too deeply into Big Finish, make sure you listen to all the ones that are available on Spotify for free as well. That'll give you a good taste of the classic Doctors if you haven't got into the classic Doctors too much yet. But of course, there's a lot of Paul McGann there too, and the first couple of seasons of Paul McGann are there, available for free on Spotify with the amazing India Fisher as Charlie.
Yep, there's so much there to discover. So, wow, how exciting still, having stuff to discover. I'm just still trying to close off collections and things.
I
Oh,
don't
I
think
wish there
anyone could
was.
possibly have every single thing that's out there now. There was a time when we may have been able to, but I don't think anymore that's
Yeah, I
possible.
mean, I thought I was doing pretty well with a lot of stuff, but yeah, there's stuff that I'm, there's entire areas I don't even try to get into now.
So I know at our events, people were a bit dismayed at the fact that Doctor Who had left the ABC now, and it was only available on Disney Plus, which is a paid subscription service. But one thought that came across to me with the Hooniverse and iPlayer is keep in mind that everyone who accesses that directly pays the license fee. So, which is probably more, I think it might be £150 or something. Is it
Yeah,
£170?
it's more than we're paying for
More
year
than we pay
subscription
for Disney
for
Plus.
Disney Plus. And in fact, most of my streaming services combined would be about the same as
About that?
£150 or so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the streaming service is pretty good. And we do have Doctor Who and other streaming services. All the new series is on. Well, I don't
I
know what
think
I
it's on
watched it on.
Prime, isn't it?
Prime.
It's
I
on
think I watched it
Amazon.
on.
Yeah.
No.
So the only shame was that the classic series got removed from BritBox for some reason. I don't know why that would be, but because the assumption was when it came off BritBox that it would appear on Disney, but so far, no classic episodes on Disney as yet.
Yeah, I'm certainly glad I'm still buying everything in hard form because things just disappear too fast. So Blake 7 was on BritBox, that's all gone.
Blake Seven's gone too now.
It's off BritBox as well, yeah.
Oh,
So
wow.
I something they might put it back again on later, but nothing stays on streaming services for that long. They sort of come on for a while and go off, and so I'm really glad actually that I still have all the physical material for the best stuff because you just don't know when you need it.
I guess they have a look at how many people are actually watching things like Blake Seven, and maybe because I'm sure they would have to pay a regular license fee or some kind of fee to have it sitting there. And if no one's watching it, there's no real point in having it there, is there? Or if the numbers aren't just sort of justifying
I was starting to watch it. It was gone.
it.
I didn't want to, because I'm too lazy to walk upstairs and get my DVDs
Yeah,
out.
well, fortunately we have, or like me, sat with all your favorite series and ripped them onto your hard drive. So I've always got them plugged into my television. I did that
Yeah,
to Blake Seven
well,
as well as Doctor
okay, well,
Who.
yes, I need to start doing that, I think. Keep myself
Very
lazy.
good. All right. Thank you very much, Aaron. We really appreciate your comment. It's been fun to listen to, and thank you so much for your kind words about the podcast too. You have got a lot to catch up with if you haven't heard all our great interviews.
And
We certainly feel.
I hope you've given us a 5-star review and a good comment on Apple Podcast too, so this gets discovered by more people. So, and
That's it.
all those people listening out there, hundreds and hundreds of you, please review us. We'd love more reviews and more 5 stars, just so that more people can see this.
Fantastic. All right, let's crawl up out of the rabbit hole. We're going to talk about Love and War, which is a Virgin New Adventures adaptation written by Paul Cornell, adapted by Jack Rayner. And I will read the blurb. On a planet called Heaven, all hell is breaking loose. Heaven is a cemetery for both humans and draconians, a final place of rest for those lost during wartime. The Doctor arrives on a trivial mission, to find a book, or so he says. An ace wandering around Joystown becomes involved with a charismatic traveller called Jan. But the Doctor is strenuously opposed to the romance. What is he trying to prevent? Is he planning some more deadly game connected with the coffins revered by the mysterious Church of the Vacuum and the unusual arch that marks the location of a secret building below ground? Archaeologist Bernice Summerfield thinks so. Her destiny is inextricably linked with that of the Doctor, but even she may not be able to save Ace from the Time Lord's plans. This time, has the Doctor gone too far?
You know, it's funny. I've had a lot of adventures over the years, been to a lot of places, done a lot of things. Some you probably know about, others you probably don't. But I don't think I've ever explained how it all started. I used to be an archaeologist back in the day. Fake my qualifications, not that I really talk about that much. But when the rest of the world was battling Daleks, I was unearthing ancient, crumbling artifacts, digging up pots and coins, and oh, I loved it. Then one day, something changed. I was working with a team of mine, excavating this great old arch on a planet called
Heaven.
What, really?
We're on the edge of empire between human and draconian space. Heaven is host to farmers, the library, archaeologists.
Archaeologists?
That's what I was doing there, digging up an ancient arch, and that's where I met the Doctor. Or rather, where he met me.
I'm the Doctor.
I'm the Professor, and I'm very busy, so if you don't mind, I will...
Yes, you need a sonic screwdriver.
Ah, well, you know how to take all the fun out of archaeology, don't you? He said he travelled the universe in a police box that was bigger on the inside than the outside. The TARDIS, he called it. He had a friend of his with him, too.
Hi, I'm Ace.
She seemed nice from what I could see. She came from the 20th century, filled me in on a few crucial details. Not someone you'd want to mess with. Then things started to change. She met a boy.
The lad from the marketplace?
They fell in love.
Maybe I can come with you. You should take me away in your ship and teach me about Allegros and service stations and L-plates.
And then the dead rose up.
The fields of heaven are thick with meat, Time Lord. Meat we can use.
People died. I mean, lots of people. Everybody made sacrifices.
Ace!
Leave me alone!
I can't! I won't!
Let go of me!
There was never going to be a happy ending. The Doctor was always going to lose the best friend he could ever have hoped to have. But then he found a new one. Someone different. Someone he wouldn't manipulate, not ever. That's me, by the way. This is the story of that very first adventure, the story of how I met the Doctor. A story of life and death, choices, regrets. A tale of love and war.
Love and War, the Facts and the Trivia. Story from the new adventure novel by Paul Cornell, adapted by Jacqueline Rayner. Part of the novel adaptation series by Big Finish. Recorded on the 28th and 29th of January 2012 and released in October 2012. Starring Sylvester McCoy, Sophie Aldred and Lisa Bowerman. Directed by Gary Russell. Script editor and producers Gary Russell and Scott Hancock. Sound design and music by Steve Foxen. Cover art by Andy Lambert. This was the first of 11 of the new adventure novels and past Doctor novels to be adapted by Big Finish. People had been asking for years for Big Finish to adapt the best of the novels. However, when they didn't sell that well and the range was disbanded after 4 years. Two previous new adventure novels had been adapted for Big Finish, but in both cases the Doctor had been removed as Big Finish did not have the rights to use the Doctor in their first years, and they only had Benny. Those two stories were Birthright and Just War. This was the first Virgin New Adventure novel since Dragon's Wrath in 2000. This is the first time the Doctor, Ace and Benny have been together since 2003's Dark Flame by Big Finish. In a Facebook poll run by Big Finish in 2012, this was voted as the best Big Finish story of the year. Now, we all know that Facebook polls aren't necessarily that accurate. The story is set on the planet Heaven, which is set between Earth and Draconian space. Bernard Holly, who plays Brother Phaedrus, had appeared in Doctor Who, and both his roles in Doctor Who he'd reprised for Big Finish. He was Peter Hayden in Tomb of the Cybermen, the guy who got blasted at the end of the first episode, and Axos in The Claws of Axos. Charlie Hayes, who plays the Death, was the daughter of Wendy Pedbury, second Doctor companion Zoe. And those are the facts and the trivia.
Thank you very much for that, Philip. Now, when I went and re-listened to this, I was reminded of how I was feeling when it was first released. I was very excited about this because I was never really into the Virgin New Adventures. I read the first one, Timeworm Genesis. I read Nightshade as well at the time. And I think they might be the only two Virgin New Adventures that I read during the 90s. So it's the similar story for you. You didn't read the novels too much either, did you?
No, that was probably the period when I was starting to take a bit of a break from fandom. So sort of, you know, when Sylvester McCoy's era came on, it was starting to be shown as children's television at sort of a 4:30 slot in the afternoon show. So I didn't watch all the Sylvester McCoys. But then when the show ended, I didn't really move particularly. I sort of had a couple of years off big fandom for a while. And so when all these started coming out, I wasn't buying them, wasn't reading them. And yeah, it didn't really take any interest. Now, I did have actually read Love. I do actually own a copy of Love and War. I did buy it. Why did I buy it? I probably bought it just before this came out because I wanted to read it before the adaptation came. So I bought a copy just secondhand before this was released and have read. And I've read it since one time as well, half read it another time. It is actually an excellent novel. I really did enjoy it. But yeah, I never really got into the novels, even though I do have a whole heap of them, which is not particularly read them.
Okay. So my feelings at the time, which are similar to my feelings now, were that this story was so jam-packed full of stuff that I needed knowledge of from the novel and surrounding novels, because there are elements here that are used in other stories too, that there were things that just went over my head. The other thing I really noticed, because we're trying to focus on this as being the 25th anniversary of Benny Summerfield at Big Finish, was that it's not an overly heavy, even though it's her introductory story, she's not in it much. It's more of an Ace leaving story than an introductory story for Benny, even though it is. So in that respect, I was a little bit disappointed that Benny wasn't in it so much. But there were some interesting facts that I learned about Benny that I had never really paid attention to before or forgotten about her actually being a professor and about her parents, that kind of thing. So I found that those kind of facts interesting. But as a person who's read the novel, how do you think it stood up, the audio adaptation? How do you think it stood up to the novel itself?
I think all the audio adaptations have suffered the same way. The novels are so dense with information, with detail, that the audios just haven't got a chance. And so a lot of stuff had to be left out, a lot of scenes had to be left out, and a lot of the scenes were really rushed to get enough in. So I think trying to do two CDs, and it's two parts, but it's sort of like it's just 2 hour long parts. There's just too much. I mean, the novel's 10 hours to read. And so trying to reduce 10 hours to 2, I think you're really, really pushing it. So there's really great scenes, but it is rushed so much. So the whole love thing with Ace and Jan, it just comes out of nowhere. And I know, and in the book, it's all done sort of through, what's going on in their minds, love at first sight, it's all in their heads. But you can't hear a lot of stuff on audio. So a lot of the stuff that's the novel has. It's just lost because of just this audio can't quite convey what a book can convey. And so a lot of the relationships get lost that way. A lot of description gets lost. I do enjoy it, but it's probably not. I would listen to the Benny series well before I listen to this because they're written as audio stories. And, you know, particularly the first 6, 7, 8 seasons of Benny, they're spectacular, like so good.
We're definitely going to, in 24, yeah. Next year, we're definitely going to delve into a few more Bennies. I was thinking about this before and thinking we should really do something more semi-regular with that series because it's not something we've touched on, I don't think, ever before on the podcast. And it's something that's so important. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. We really haven't. And I love them. And I mean, I love the novels and I love the Big Finish novels. I mean, I know her father well because of Death of the Daleks, and they bring him back in the books and in the series. I think the characters on the Braxtel collection, I mean, I love the whole Braxtel collection and the life there and the leaving there. All that stuff is just spectacular. And as much as I enjoyed this, and I think it's a good celebration for an anniversary, but it doesn't stack up with as good as Benny is elsewhere. And it's interesting, I mean, you know, River Song is so similar to Benny that it's, you know, you sort of think, yeah, you easily could replace Benny for River Song in the entire TV series because it's, you know, archaeologist and, you know, the sarcasm and the wit and the similarities between those two are pretty astounding and both played by amazing actresses.
And even though writers for either one They kindly say, no, they're totally different characters. The similarities between them are incredible. So it's almost like Stephen Moffat was drawing on some of Paul Cornell's work there.
Did Stephen Moffat ever write for Benny?
I don't think so.
How many new adventures did he write?
He wrote any.
Oh, did he?
Okay. I don't think so.
So I don't, that's just how well I know the new adventures. I thought Stephen Moffat had written some stuff.
I think it was. I think it was Russell was the only one that did Damaged Goods. That was the only one, wasn't it? That he wrote.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Mm. Yeah, I like the setting. Set in that sort of frontier in space type era. So you've got the draconian human war with Daleks threat as a ever present threat, and I guess that's why the Daleks come into the Benny stories through that era, which I can't wait to delve into in a bit more depth as I re-listen to everything. I haven't even heard all the Benny stories. I've heard the first few seasons, but yeah. And it might be good to delve into the books as well. I might have to listen to the audiobooks, eh?
Yeah, well, I must admit, I've been planning and I just haven't got to it. I want to actually listen to everything in chronological order. And
maybe we should do it as a project, Philip.
Yeah. Well,
maybe we should do this.
Yeah, well, maybe we just do it, you know, a chunk in every 3 months. We just do, you know, season one, yeah, and every 3 months. So we spread out over a couple of years because it's too much to do. But I did read the books at the time because once again, you kind of needed to read the books because suddenly, you know, Benny turns up with a baby at one stage. How the hell hadn't read The Glass Prison? And I forget the one before that where she gets falls pregnant. Well, she's not in her body when she falls pregnant. Long story. So those novels are really key in terms of fitting in with the order of stories, which is why I really do want to. And now they've come up with Benny, Lisa reading them. I'd love to listen to them read and then slot them in. So yeah, let's start doing that next year. Let's take a chunk of, you know, one novel and the four stories that go with it, and at least, you know, do some chunks along the way because I really love the Benny stories. It's been a long time since I've listened to them.
Yeah, for sure. Some of the ideas within the story I had to look up on TARDIS Wiki because it was just sort of going over my head a bit. Pewter space, that was a concept that was used across several books. It was a Matrix type scenario where they could go in and it was like a whole different universe. They could go in and meet people and interact with people. And although it was a fascinating idea, but do you think that worked on audio?
It's interesting, just listening to the Gallifrey War Room, the second one, they're using a very similar technique as that, where different characters.
Well, they've got the Matrix. Gallifrey's always had the Matrix, hasn't it?
They have, but they're using the same idea where people are coming in from all different parts of the universe and able to meet. And it actually doesn't even matter what time zone they're in. They managed to meet up at the same time. And so there's a lovely scene with Leela and Narvin, and he's 2 weeks in her future. But yeah, he's just come in, she's there already, and they meet at the time, give the information, and then separate again. So that's the idea's been used before. It's a really good way of storytelling. It's actually quite terrifying. And of course, one of the main characters dies in pure space, but he's manages to pull all his brain and thinking into pure space with him. So there's a sense of which he's still alive, and he manages to animate bodies.
Yes,
there's so much happening. There's so much plot. I mean, compared to the Star Beast, where there's not much plot at all. And I mean, one thing that I liked about the Star Beast was the fact that, it was just a little comic strip, and they actually removed half the plot from the comic strip to make the TV show.
It's interesting, isn't it?
All about being fun. I think it's funny that the Star Beast has removed a lot of the plot. But also talk about the Daleks and the fact they've reduced it down to that 70-minute version. Whereas, Disney were making the Daleks, they'd make it 10 episodes when nothing happened for the first four. Because it's, Ashoka, I forget how you pronounce her name, but shows like that.
Imagine turning episode 6 of the Daleks into 2 one-hour episodes. Rope coming over.
Well, no, I mean, they do more character stuff. Like every time the rope fell, you'd have a flashback to a past life and why they didn't know how to throw a rope properly. They padded out. So this is so packed, though, with information, which is
fascinating how Paul Cornell manages to get such a packed story inspired by one single line from the Brain of Morbius, isn't it?
Is it the planet? What's the
expression? No. I think it's Marin in the Brain of Morbius says even the silent gas, whatever their globes are,
right?
Those gas things. Even the silent blah blahs of the Hutai can be felt in our bones, or something like that. So that was the inspiration for the Hutai, which is the villain in Love and War, which a fascinating alien too. Really, even they're complex, the way they work and the way they infect people. And
yes, you've got brains being taken over, you've got zombies, you've got bare feet being absorbed, you've got all kinds of things happening. You've got a very complicated love story between Ace and Jan, which I believe in the book, actually, if I tell me in the book how sexual it gets in the book.
It's very.
I was thinking my memory is actually quite section of the book. But
it's also an open relationship. So Jan's in an open relationship with someone else and then Ace is in on it.
That's right. And
yeah, it's all kind of... It's touched on very, very briefly in the audio, but I think it'd be much more in the book, obviously. It's more space to do that.
Yeah. See, Doctor Who is always pushing boundaries. people concerned about Star Beast and, I hate the term woke. I think it's a throwaway line for people who can't come up with arguments. But people criticizing Star Beast for a lot of its content. Doctor Who's always pushed the envelope in every form. Early on, even with Daleks was doing this and Green Death, and Doctor Who's always pushed the forms. Margaret Thatcher offended people in Happiness Patrol. People can always find things to look at Doctor Who and say it's pushing the envelope. And certainly, this is another story in which, at the time, we are so, and maybe we shouldn't be so blasé, but we are so accepting of, open relationships and things. We accept the fact that they happen. Though at the time, it would have been quite shocking. I'm sure there would be quite a few parents who wouldn't have been happy if they'd seen their kids reading these novels.
Well, they would have thought, Doctor Who, it's kid stuff.
It
certainly was not kid stuff.
No, it moved a long way. As I said, I'm no expert on the novels at all. I know there's some much better people than I. One of the other things I think makes it a bit hard as a story for going is just how huge the cast are. So, so many different voices. They've actually cast the voices very well, and the voices are very distinct and different. Amazing how many cast members in this only appearing. This is the only Big Finish story. So when Gary Russell was casting, I should mention, I mean, Gary Russell, great director, hadn't been around for a number of years by this stage. Because, you know,
I noticed Gary that. This is 2012, and he's back directing. Yeah.
Gary's back. So, I mean, Gary's always kept his finger in with Gallifrey and with Benny, because Benny was very much, you know, his pet project when we started off, and then Gallifrey. And once again, he's working with Scott, which is sort of his protege at Big Finish. So there is lots of connections there. I mean, Gary does a wonderful directing job. He's pulled lots and lots of people who this is their only story for Big Finish, because I think, you know, once again, the directors often do the casting. And because Gary's been away for a bit, I think he's pulled in different people he knows from other places. And so he has actually made a very distinct cast of voices. And it's actually quite a diverse cast in some ways too, which is helpful, but it is just a very big cast to get your head around who's who, and yeah, who's alive, who's dead. I mean, the pace at which you go through some characters is hard-pressed. You know, the good old Big Finish story where you've got five or six characters at the most, I can handle that. Maybe I was younger again. Well, I was younger 10 years ago. But yeah, just listen to it now. It was a very complex story with lots of characters.
How was the Church of Vacuum one of the most depressing, fatalistic churches I've ever heard of in my life? There's no point in the life in the universe, so let's all go kill ourselves. It was a very, very dark, dark concept, I thought.
I was thinking it's very goth. So we don't have much. I don't think we have goth anymore, do we? Is there such a thing as goth? But certainly when this came out,
oh, it's there. It's there. It's around.
Right. Especially when this was being written, goth was very popular. You know, everyone in black, the black eyeshadow, and dyeing their hair black, and just, you know, moping about how awful life is. You can see Paul Cornell was actually, I think, picked up on the whole goth feeling in the '90s. And put his novel and it's continued on. But yeah, it is a total hopeless situation to be in terms of churches.
Yes. So overall, I would suggest, yes, if you're interested in the first Benny introduction or a novel adaptation for that matter, it's definitely worth a listen. It was the first one they did, and they went on to do several more, maybe another six or seven after this.
Novels, 11 altogether.
It was 11, was it? Okay.
Yes.
Wow, that was more than I thought.
Yeah, 11 so
there's
four
there's
years.
Quite a selection. Actually, that's quite a lot. So, yeah, definitely check this out. It's probably not my favourite adaptation of the novels. So, yeah, check out the other novel adaptations. I could definitely recommend those. They're all available on the Big Finish website, of course. But was there any final thoughts on Love and War?
It's got some deep themes, big ideas. It's a great introduction to Benny. I mean, I'd forgotten the reason why her middle name was Surprise was because she was to her mother. It's not very nice being told you're surprised, but having that put into your name is even worse. It's a nice introduction for Benny. It's a sad leaving for Ace, but such is life.
Very emotional.
Very emotional. And but Ace will be back soon. She comes back soon. Yeah, she comes back more grown up a few novels later. So don't despair. She's not done with yet. But yeah, worth a listen. But as I said, let's do the Benny series proper, because I think those stories are even better.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to our recommendations just before we finish up the episode. And what I'd like to recommend is, well, I can't. I've got a list here. It says it's your turn, Philip.
Oh, sure. I don't mind if you want to go first.
I know you don't, but I can't go against my list.
Okay. I have been listening to some Radio 2 celebrations from the Hooniverse. So Radio 2 did a number of releases, and they're pretty easily available on the web. And those of you in the UK, which is most of you, I think you can get them pretty easily as well. So Doctor Who at 60. That's in two parts. There's a part that has, it's a sort of a examination of Doctor Who from Doctors 1 to Doctor 7 and the cancellation of the series, and then from Paul McGann to modern days. They're an hour, those are an hour each section, but it's got interviews, it's got snippets of previous interviews with people. There's some interesting stuff with William Hartnell being interviewed in some of that. They're really interesting as well. And Toby Haydock also does a alphabet, an A to Z of Doctor Who. And he does interesting things like, you get to D and you're expecting D to be Dalek, but it's not. It's, I think, do not enter. And then you get to E and it's exterminator. Surprise, that's the Dalek one. So it's Toby Haydock style. So yeah, so if you want to have a listen to those, if you search them up, you'll find a series of radio programs all coming out to celebrate Doctor Who's 60th. And so while we're in that whole anniversary celebration mood, I'd highly recommend them. They're a good, short little listen. What about you, Duane? What are you going to recommend?
I am going to recommend the Once and Future series, all 7 episodes that are out thus far. We've still got the coda to come out next year, but the bulk of the story is out. Listen to those, because in 2 weeks' time, you and I, Philip, are going to do a retrospective on those, just to give our thoughts on each of the individual episodes. So we've got to listen to all of them again. So I think everyone else should too.
Well, I just finished today. I listened to The Union for the second time.
Oh, you
today.
Only just heard it.
I just, no. I listened to it before, but I've listened to all 7 in a row in the last week and a half. So I've been listening to one at a month. Mind you, I realized as I went through, I hadn't listened to the Sylvester McCoy Davros one. I'm listening to that going, I haven't heard that. So I downloaded it, never listened to it. And so that was a nice surprise getting to one I hadn't listened to. But I don't know what it is, one a month at the moment. I forget what's happened the month before. And so I wanted to listen to all 7 in quick succession. And so over the last week and a half, I've listened to all 7 of them again. And I've taken notes along the way in terms of because I couldn't remember what they were adding to the story. So, you know, I sort of got to the end of the run last time. And so I thought, oh, hang on, what were the connections? And I missed them all. So this time I was making sure I was taking notes to actually, oh, that's how this is connected to that. But yeah, I certainly have a lot to say about the 7 of them. And I'm looking forward to you having what you have to say and discussing them with you.
Well, I've got about a week and a half to listen to them before we record. So hopefully I can get through them all.
Yeah, well, with all your holidaying and partying, I don't know how you're going to find the time.
I know. Believe it or not, I'm busy.
It's a hard life.
I'm busy relaxing all the time. It's hard to get the time to do it. Okay, so that's in 2 weeks' time. Next week, Philip, we've got a very, very special episode coming up, and I would like you to introduce that to our listeners.
Oh, we're going to let people know?
Yeah, let's let them know what they've got to look forward to for next week.
Well, next week we get to discuss and talk with one of my favourite Big Finish companions of all time, India Fisher. So India played Charlie Pollard with the Eighth Doctor and is continuing to play, and in fact it's been announced today. You would have seen, maybe, if you've been paying attention, that there's a new Eighth Doctor story with Conrad Westmass as Caris and India Fisher as Charlie. And as we've already spoiled for you, at the end of Audacity, Charlie also comes back. So there's a lot more Charlie about to start and has been recorded. And we had the lovely opportunity of a couple of hours, we won't be playing at all, to sit down with India and chat about life, the universe, and everything. So next week, India Fisher.
Fantastic. Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, and there will also be a special announcement being made very soon about something happening for people in Australia, which they may be able to sort of work out that there's something going to happen early next year. But we'll announce that either next week or maybe...
That sounds exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Wonder what that could be.
I'm excited. I'm very excited.
I bet you are. It's been great to have your company today, Philip. You know I love your company.
Oh, and I love your company too, Duane.
Thank you so much.
Even with a 3-hour time difference now.
It's weird being in 3 hours apart, isn't it?
It is. Anyhow.
it's almost midnight for you. There you go.
I know.
My evening's only just begun.
I know. You're looking alive and withered. I'm looking like I need to go to bed.
Very good. All right. Until next week with India Fisher, we will catch you all next time.
Bye, everyone.
This has been the Sirens of Audio, episode 181, Love and War, celebrating 25 years of Professor Bernice Summerfield at Big Finish, with your hosts Philip Edney and Dwayne Bunny. Original theme music composed by Joe Kramer. More about us from sirensofaudio.com. Comment below to let us know what you thought of the episode, or contact us via email at sirensofaudio@gmail.com or via any one of our socials at Audio Sirens. Thanks for listening, audiophiles. We'll hear you next time.